Everyone got one. What's your opinion? This is the rare one. Tongues won't be bitten. Ain't no rules, just spill it. And anybody can get it. No limit. We get to kill it. You tuning into the thrillers. And no, ain't no stopping. Any topic, even the random.
We get to win.
I hope that you're ready. We entering in the zone soon. We on a grown shit. Welcome to the Ramble.
That's all I got to say.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guess, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room, where we keep it street, we keep it opinionated, and we keep it what? 2015. Yeah.
What's going on?
What's up, y'all? So on this show, we discuss entertainment, TV, film, music, culture, but our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, shit like that.
Yes.
So y'all hear her voice? Mm-hmm. That's my girl, Lisa B. Mm-hmm. What we call you, the street nerdist?
Street nerdist.
Why we always got to call you street nerdist? Like you really a nerd or something?
You know, I have to confess, it took me a long time to embrace my nerddom. I used to be so ashamed of it.
Really?
Like literally, I was that black kid that when we had lunch breaks, I would have this big ass heavy backpack and I would spend my lunch after I'd hurry up and gobble a sandwich. Mm-hmm. I would go to the library and spend my time in the library.
Really?
Magazine, the book, mythology, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I had my friends and they did my things too, but there's just something about having my nose in the book that made me feel safe and happy. And,
that's where you escaped.
I used to get teased about it too.
That's where you escaped though, right?
Yeah, it was an escape, but now I'm not so ashamed of it anymore like I used to be. You know, it's people use it for street cred. I mean, I was one of the.
Now, did you grow up with a bunch of brothers and sisters and stuff like that or what?
You mean in terms of siblings? From
yeah, at home, like in your house?
Well, my younger siblings lived overseas, but I had a younger sister that lived with me. But most of the time, though, you might as well say it's me because it was like.
So you were a couple years older, so it wasn't like you
was. Yeah, I was much older than my other siblings. Okay. So I think my middle sister is about maybe a 4-year difference. So it kind of didn't. She didn't really count. But I mean, I just kind of felt like it was very uncool, and I did used to get teased a lot.
Okay.
As a kid. So, but now, you know, I figure, you know what? I grew up around a lot. I have to be honest. I did grow up around some rough people. I come from working class roots where we had all kinds of people. We had rich black people. We had middle class black people. We had poor black people. And we had black people we didn't really want in the neighborhood, you know, but I embrace it now. So when I say street nerdist, I say it with love and affection. Because
I feel you.
If I need to get down to, like, I tell people all the time, don't let the Southern Cali Valley girl accent fool your ass.
Okay, I'll cut you, bitch. I will cut you.
I will cut you.
No, I say that only because, you know, I mean, I think we all talk about embracing, you know, things within ourselves. And for me, you know, being a black gay man from the hood, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. I did an episode on McBetancourt's show, and I was telling him about how I used to justify for years my gayness and my blackness, which a lot of us do, especially when you hang around a lot of white people since 1984.
Right.
You either justify that or you justify your gayness.
Right.
And it took me to probably like the last 5-10 years for me to start realizing who I really was and embracing how cool it actually is to be that person who I really am.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I used to justify, oh, I'm gay, but I'm not really like a punk gay. You know what I mean? I ain't a flaming queen.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm a black dude, but I ain't, you know, I don't be hanging out in the hood. I was always justifying my blackness, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm at a point where, and maybe it's just maturity, or you get to the point where you go, God, I'm so glad I came from all that shit.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so for me, that was, yes, y'all, we're going off on a whole little side shit.
Like,
but look, just roll with it. Y'all might learn some shit. Y'all might learn some shit.
You know what I mean? But kind of the similarities in terms of, I think it does have an effect on our writing.
Sure.
And I think it's a great thing because we're kind of coming from these different worlds and trying to fit in. And one of the things when you are trying to be a person who fits in, or when you feel like you're kind of marginalized, or I wouldn't consider myself marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
I consider myself more like an outlier. Like, I can be in it if I need to be in with the group, but I choose not to. Because believe it or not, I know a lot of my friends think I'm lying when I say this. I'm I'm a cerebral person. I tend to live a life in the, of the mind. Like, that's my goal, to make a bunch of money and then fix the rest of you people, not to deal with people at all. Because I really am an introvert, but I have learned over time to be gregarious and to externalize and to hang out with people. But there are times when I would much rather just be by myself most of the time. And it took me a long time to be really comfortable with that, because I thought, oh my God, why do I like hanging around with people all the time? Mm-hmm. Whereas I tend to be attracted to extroverts or people who like, who get their energy from being around people. Mm-hmm. I don't get my energy from people. People take energy from me. Hmm. And I have to go recharge my own batteries within my own self. But I think that ability to do that is what helped me to be a writer, because when you're an introvert, a lot of times you don't want to be the center of the party, but you will watch everything that happens.
You are watching everything.
And as a watcher, you learn a lot about human, you know, you just learn things about how people say things, the tone of voice. Mm-hmm. You can read people without them saying anything. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of shyness, that introvert, that kind of similarity that we have, I think it really has helped us in our writing.
Oh, I think it's helped us in our writing and in life, because, I mean, I'm the type of person, like, I don't drink or smoke or do drugs or anything. And if I ever tell you I have a best friend, they more than likely don't either. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I surround myself around certain types of people. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that people may not have a drink. Like, my partner, you know, has a glass of wine, you know, every night, you know. Doesn't bother me that he does. When he has a bottle, I might have an issue. I'm just going to be up front. I ain't going to lie. You know what I mean? But a glass of wine or two, cute. That's sexy, right? How, you know, you go a little too far. Hey,
make sure I get that Patron out my trunk.
Okay. Why the hell I got Patron in the trunk in the first place?
You never know when you need. I may need to call down some gods. I may have to pour some out for the homies. I might just need to just, you know, stop myself from hurting somebody. You know, sometimes you just got to roll with your stuff in your hand. You know, you just got to be ready for anything. But anywho.
So y'all hear how we're doing on the Rant Room. We already gave y'all some game already.
I know. Just my personal, probably TMI.
Exactly.
TMI.
So if y'all ready, let's get it in. So there's a couple things going on. First of all, we're past our year, but I figure we at least need to have one episode where we acknowledge the fact that we've been doing this for over a year now.
Yes, we have. You know what I mean? If it doesn't feel that way, I mean, but I look back, it's like, man, we've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, it's been, remember, because we were on a previous network.
Right.
You know, shout out to Jamie Jones. You know, he put us on for a minute. We were on his network for a minute. And we did 10 or 11 episodes on his thing. Mm-hmm. And then we started our own thing like last February, I think it was. And we've been going in.
Wow.
We just dropped episode 47.
Shut up. Has it been that many?
Yeah, 47.
Oh, we feel like grown-ups.
So basically, we've done like over 60, if you think about
it. Oh, God, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been good. And hopefully the listeners out there have actually learned something from us. Because like I said, in the beginning when we started this, it was more like the stuff that we talk about, literally it's the conversations we would have in the parking lot.
Yeah, we just having the conversation. Mm-hmm.
And
you know?
Somebody's happened to say, y'all need to tape that. It's like, ain't nobody going to listen to us. Who going to listen to us? And I guess you guys are out there listening.
Yeah, and let me tell you guys, we don't really come here we have an agenda if there is one. It's more just to give you some game, really. But we don't come here with a whole bunch of paperwork and bullet points on what we're going to talk about. It's like, we just sat down, like, what are we going to talk about? It's like, well, let's talk about this. And we just start having a conversation because that sounds real. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't edit and cut, you know, where we mess up. You know what I mean? I might mispronounce some shit. And Lisa gonna correct the brother. You know, all kind of things might happen, but that is real talk. Mm-hmm. You can't say it's real talk if you're being edited, in my opinion.
Right. And we've done that where we've, you know, taught classes and things where if you come to our classes, I've heard us when we come to speak and teach some things where it really is. It's kind of like, all right, here are the bullet points and here's some handouts. And we do that. But here it's more like we just want to talk to you in an organic fashion and just literally kind of like just stick a little microphone in our everyday conversations about writing and craft and what we're trying to do.
And speaking of classes, we got to give a quick little shout out to Bill Taub and Jeff Thorpe. I mean, we got to give them some shout because they're about to do their little seminar on the 18th.
Okay.
I should have looked it up before I even started talking, but that's what happens when you spitball. anyway, shout out to them from the librarians, you know, Paul Gio and Jeff. They're about to do some shit. So
and
that's
what I love
cool.
about that is they doing it for free.
Free.
Okay.
Which we doing the shit for free.
Okay, like, look, but here's the thing. I mean, it's... look, we in Hollywood, mm-hmm. we in the land of get paid or pay somebody, you know, and a lot of
black and white.
Yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of stuff, they will charge you a chunk of change. Mm-hmm. Like, you may have to save up and decide, well, I'm not going to pay my car note this month because I'm going to do some right. The fact that these are people who are on a show right now and they're coming to give you game for free, mm-hmm. you better take advantage of it. I mean, unfortunately, if you're not in the city to do that, hey. But if you're here in LA and you have an opportunity to go listen to some people who are in the business and they're telling you game for free, you better take advantage of mm-hmm. it. So shout out to them. I'm hoping to be around when they do it.
Jeff is going to be on. I finally emailed with him. Thank you for sending that to mm-hmm. me. He'll be on the 18th.
On the 18th?
19th.
19th.
Sorry, no, because
okay.
the 18th is there. The day they're doing
their day and their thing, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, well, then I'm gonna have to just come up and like sit in on their class mm-hmm. and take some notes mm-hmm. in the background. Hey, but that's gonna be really, really exciting. So I'm excited about
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
And I've been stalking Jeff Thorne for years.
Have you?
I wouldn't say that to his face, but I'm telling you right now.
I know you're
going to
tell him.
I know.
I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell him.
Well, I've been a fan of his from way back when he was an actor, but, mm-hmm. you know, even after that when I found out he was a writer. So it's kind of like, I'm excited because people that you've admired from a long, long mm-hmm. time and you finally get to sit down with them and talk shop. So I'm really excited about
that. Well, I mean, let's think about that. Now, since I just mentioned, like, it's been a year basically since we've been on the air, a little over, on our own show. Mm-hmm. And we've had some really good guests on our show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've met a lot of cool people that we didn't even know yet, and mm-hmm. now we met them here. We didn't know Paul Gill, mm-hmm. for instance. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that was a really cool, you know, setup. And did you ever listen to Pilar show? So let me tell you then, since for the kids. So Paul,
you can see by the silence,
mm-hmm. girl, y'all don't even know. I ain't gonna embarrass you on the air. However, this bitch don't listen to the show.
All right, you're right. There's no defense. I'll just shut up.
But look, so since we're talking about Paul Gill, so Paul was on Pilar's show the week after he was on our show.
Okay.
Well, that's when she aired it, and. He went in talking about you and how he was trying to help you get staffed on the show, even more than he did on our show.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, I had to go listen to that episode.
That's what I was trying to tell you, you know? And it came because Pilar kept pumping you, going, Lisa is one of the best writers, yada, yada, yada. And he was like, I got to meet who this person is. So I went back and listened to our episode to see what it was he heard, and I got exactly why he went after you.
Oh, what was that?
Well, because you were talking about being such a sci-fi nerd and a sci-fi geek and comic books and yada, 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 and being a strong woman. And I was like, well, why the fuck wouldn't he? You know what I mean? That's his show.
That's what makes sense.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You're genre girl. I mean, so I was like, fangirl, why the hell wouldn't he look for you? So it was like the perfect thing to talk about. And the perfect thing for somebody like that, as I always tell everybody, you don't know who is listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why you have to either be on your P's or Q's, or you have to be you to the 100th degree.
Right.
And that's one thing you're not afraid to be.
Mm-hmm.
And people tap into that.
Because I'm not scared. It's like, I would say this. If it was like many, many years ago when I was first starting out, like, God, I think when I finally said, oh, I think I'm going to be a screenwriter, I think I was like 19 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I was always writing and doing things, but I was also heavily involved with education. I wanted to be like a big educator. I kind of wanted to be like Angela Davis. I wanted to be like this militant educator person, creative, that kind of person. And, mm-hmm. You know, moving up here and really wanting to write and really having a love for genre and really wanted to get some new stories. And I think that is also why I always say I want to write on a genre show or create a film, because mm-hmm. here's the problem. When you read or you watch a lot of film and you know a lot of stuff, when you do watch TV shows or movies, you keep saying the same boring stories mm-hmm. being told over and over again.
Sure.
And you always need somebody in the room who's going to be in there to tell you, that's been done before, and it's boring and it's tired. Can we do something original and creative? So that's always been my push. When I'm trying to do things, like, I may give you something that's similar to what you think you're used to seeing, mm-hmm. but I'm going to give you something a little bit different. And then mm-hmm. I'm going to try to show you something like, we're tired of looking at certain things.
Okay.
Like, I'm tired of vampires.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I wrote a short story in Clarion where I wrote an anti-vampire story.
Anti-vampire.
It was an anti-vampire. Well, I'm creating creatures that eat vampires, fucking vampires, okay? And, you know, and then it became like, it didn't turn into this book. So I'm finishing mm-hmm. up my book, and I'm, oh God, second rewrite, which is always fun. But it's like creating this world mm-hmm. that I see, especially with supernatural and crazy stuff that bends the trope and actually brings you some interesting new supernatural creatures that have always been here. We just never see them because we're so sick and tired of seeing the same tired ones like zombies.
You just
vampires,
said something interesting. Better leave my zombies alone. You just said something interesting because we're going to get on the zombies in a second. Paul Gio brought up, I know I'm talking about Paul a lot. Paul brought up something interesting that you talk about a lot. He just doesn't listen all, he hasn't heard all the episodes. Imagination. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about is, okay, everybody else is talking about zombies and werewolves and, you know, all that other vampires. Well, I'm gonna take that and have a fucking monster or beast or whatever it is that eats those motherfuckers.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And then brings you something new to the table.
Exactly. You know? So you're using your imagination, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that is where we need to be starting to use. I think he gave us a very valid point. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we need to talk about that more, about ways to use your imagination and to, because we do, I think because we're instructors and we read so many in scripts, it's so difficult not to go back to format and structure and stuff and character when there's so many mistakes. It's like, you got to learn that shit first.
Right.
So you can play with the imagination, but right. I get where he's going with that.
Mm-hmm.
But we get caught up in that a lot because I always still find myself going back to format and structure first before I think about imagination because it's on the page.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's, it's a harder one. Something I'll bring up to him that, you know, maybe he's got some other ideas around what he thinks we could do for that.
Right.
You know, I'm sure you have some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so since we're talking about zombies,
child,
we got to get into,
let me tell you,
we're a week late, but we got to get into The Walking Dead.
It's okay because, you know, honestly,
still talking about
I needed time to process what had happened on the season finale of The Walking Dead.
Well, let's tell the kids.
Let me tell you, mm-hmm. when I sat down and watched it,
mm-hmm.
I had three drinks in front of me. I had, listen. Actually, I think it was four. I mean, so I had my wine from when things were going well. Mm-hmm. I would take a nice little sip, you know, and a nice red, you know, 1997 bottle. And
vintage
shit. You know, my nice glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had like my shot of Patron when shit is just not, like, I need some help. Like, this is not going well. And then I had my grand, you know, my grand marinade where my sipping liquor. Mm-hmm. When things are kind
of
like, I had a little cups and then I had water, you know, to help balance me out.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, and I had some nibbles, you know, cause you got to have some food in your stomach. But let me tell you, that season finale, not only was it so topsy turvy and stressful for me because you did number one, of course, every season finale, everybody's always thinking somebody's going to die. And so, of course, everyone's making side bets on Twitter, like who their favorite.
Well, let's just say this: they needed that finale.
Oh, they needed that.
They needed it bad.
They needed because
they were losing me.
Okay, can I just say this? Mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the first half of this season was shitty.
Mm-hmm. Season one, I think episode one and two was okay. I can't remember
the first opening episode because remember we had just Well, I'm going to say the first two episodes. Like, everybody got back together. Mm-hmm. We had just got out of Terminus.
Daryl and Carol came together.
I have the weepy, teary-eyed moment.
Yes.
You know, you had Tyrese and Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
They got to see each other. And, you know, the family had got back together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all good. And then, I don't know why. Why did they have to insist on having that whole hospital sequence? Like, to me, that was like, we had this lovely cake and you threw a turd on top of the cake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, I kind of stopped watching. I had to go back and binge watch a little bit. I didn't want to see it anymore. And it started to pick up after they left, after what's your name got killed. I'm like, why are we wasting all this time with her?
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. But then it started to pick up. And then what also pissed me off was they kept teasing me with Morgan.
I agree. If they didn't bring Morgan back in that finale, I would have had a tissue fit.
You know what? I would be driving to Georgia. I would have to rent me a motel room and wait till they come back down and start filming and be like, what the hell y'all doing? How are you going to show him and tease me? Like, the whole time I could think, oh, he's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then every now and then, and I'm just like, they're not going to show him. Like, literally, that's like, if they don't show this dude, and they finally did like the first 2 minutes of the opening, and I was really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm hoping.
And they didn't show him again until the finale. It's like 8 episodes gone. I'm like, how are you going to do that?
But it just shows you what a strong character is. Because this is my dream. This is all I want.
Mm-hmm.
If they just do this, I don't have to watch The Walking Dead ever again in life. I'm just going based on the graphic novel. Because, okay, here's the thing. If you haven't read the graphic novel, Michonne gets good sex.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Michonne on a TV show
mm-hmm.
ain't had nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Everybody has had somebody on that show
mm-hmm.
except for Michonne.
Well, Daryl hasn't had anybody either.
Well, there's always that subtext with him and Carol. And there's imagination. Like you,
But you know, Robert Kirkman basically is kind of saying Daryl might be gay.
We'll see.
You know what I mean?
That would be wonderful if yeah. that happens. Mm-hmm. But it's like, but there's still, you know, he's got, you know, he's got some choices and, you know. And, you know, I mean, part of me is like, oh, Daryl, Michonne, we should get together. But, you know, that'll never happen. But it was just like, all I need is Morgan mm-hmm. to hook up. Just give me a one night stand with Michonne. Like, I was like, okay, well, maybe Michonne and Andrea can get together. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of times they're trying to follow the graphic novels and then they're also not following the graphic novel. And I was just like, can she just have somebody? Can a black woman just have some love somewhere, anywhere? So my goal and hope is like, if you can just have those two pair up, mm-hmm. her and Morgan, and they just have good sex.
Well, let's talk about this for a second.
And then, I mean, if you're going to kill him and do whatever you're going to do, I would be
happy.
You just
said something really interesting. They've season one was a lot of sex because what's his name was having sex with the wife, and Shane was having sex with his wife.
And
then Rick came back and he was having sex with his wife. So there was a lot of that going on. But it kind of died out. And then, Glenn and Maggie were having sex.
Well, yeah, they're boring, though.
You know what I mean? But there was a couple of heated moments.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, but there was a lot more sexual tension going on. But you just said something interesting that I fucking forgot. I don't think they've showed any black people having sex.
They've had black... I mean, the implication was Sasha and Bob as a couple.
I think they...
They kissed.
Kissed her, and it was like a very...
Yeah, and it's kind of like, oh, and you kind of know they were in love
with her. Wasn't even into it in that kiss.
But... towards the end when they were talking about, oh, they're so in love, and you kind of the subtext was
it was implied
and it was inferred.
It shown?
It was never shown.
That's all I'm saying, because Tyrese had the big fit about the girl in prison that he fell in love with. That came out of nowhere to me. And he was all in love with this girl, never showed it. They never showed that there was a deep relationship except for like him grabbing her, walking her somewhere, something. It was like nothing. But that's interesting because we keep talking about how they need a black writer in that fucking room bad. Okay, one of us should be in there. That's all I'm saying.
I'm sorry.
Look, I said it. Walking Dead, Kirkman.
You ain't said it.
Okay, Scott, y'all motherfuckers need to be calling us. Now, they need somebody in there because somebody in there must think that black people are going to have a hard time if we see it. There must be some reason why they are not showing... particularly Michonne, because in the book, Michonne is fucking everybody.
I mean, oh my God.
Something.
Yeah.
Don's back. Something's not right.
Yeah. And I don't know what that thing is.
Okay. So that's how I feel about it, that maybe they're a little afraid of something. And I think it's because there's no person of color who looks like us to verify that it's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just weird thing they have. And mm-hmm. I don't understand what it is, because people love Michonne.
Mm-hmm.
People love all those characters on mm-hmm. that show. And sure. It's like, I almost feel like you're not showing her full humanity and showing her having desires. Because every time you see her, she's either taking care of Rick,
mm-hmm.
taking care of Carl.
Or she's angry about
taking
something.
Taking care of the baby. She's pissed off about something. I mean, mm-hmm. they were trying to soften her up a little bit by having her kind of having some concern about Sasha and Sasha wigging out and stuff like mm-hmm. that. But it's like, you never really get to see her being sexual, and everybody else has,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's like, I just want to see that. And I'm hoping Morgan will bring that, because I think one of the things that the actor, Lenny brings to the role mm-hmm. is there's a strong magnetism. There's a certain masculinity mm-hmm. that might even be more overpowering than Rick. It's almost like the grown-up has arrived now, mm-hmm. and he's seeing y'all messing up.
Well, let's talk about something interesting. How is it that somebody can come in episode one and not be in any more episodes, I think, in season one that I remember? I don't think he was. I don't think he came back into episode two
mm-mm.
or three.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody and their mother is talking about him.
Oh, there was somebody on Twitter joking like, he get more love than Andre and all the other characters on there mm-hmm. who were on there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, one, it comes from the actor.
Mm-hmm.
He has such a presence.
Sure.
And I think because of that first episode where you show, basically he was like a mirror of Rick. Here he had like his wife, lost his wife. He has his son. He's trying to hold his family together.
Mm-hmm.
I think that mirror effect with those two characters – I think what happens is that we just feed into that, mm-hmm. and we want to see more of that. And plus, we see that friendship between the two of them.
Sure.
I think there's something, a certain dynamic between those two characters of mm-hmm. Rick and Morgan. And I think Rick really needs a friend. He needs a male friend, mm-hmm. not an adversary, like, you know, somebody who's adversarial like Shane was. Mm-hmm. Not someone who's competing with him.
Or like Herschel was.
Right. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, well, Herschel was more like the grandfather league type. I mean, someone who's your equal, who's okay. your buddy, who's your friend. Someone who's, you know.
Well, Shane could have been, but they made Shane.
Yeah. And they should have kept Shane, but it's fine. But anyway, the thirst trap that was Shane. But I probably would like Rick more if they would have cast Home Dude to play Shane. I'd be like, oh my God, don't hurt Rick. Mm-hmm. But there's just something about that friendship. And I'm hoping that when they bring Morgan in next season, he probably won't last long, as most of the black male characters don't. I'm hoping that there'd be some kind of balance, and I'm sure there's going to be some type of conflict because mm-hmm. Rick has been so used to being the boss of everything, and he's kind of losing it right now. Mm-hmm. I just think there's a calmness to Morgan that's so necessary to this group. And Michonne needs to have some dick.
Okay.
Or, you know what? She can go the way. She can get a female, too. Like, mm-hmm. who can she hook up with? Like, can her and Sasha hook up, or whoever? Who's free? Who's available? You know, I just need her to have that. So, and then I can be happy. Like, I don't even have to watch the show ever again, you know. But I will, because I love me some Michonne and Daryl. Those are my two.
Well, it's funny because in my spec script that I wrote a scene where, you know, they end up trapped in the middle of a snowstorm, and I made it so that Michonne and Tyrese's character go off on they're kind of like on a highway that leads to the city, and they're like scavenging for things, and Michonne and Tyrese have a moment where he touches her in a way. They're passionate with each other. There's been like kind of sexual tension mm-hmm. through the whole episode. Mm-hmm. And they finally, she opens up a door for them and like pushes him, and they have like raunchy,
wow.
like serious sex.
Well, maybe I just need to read your script.
Maybe. And I've actually had a few of my friends read it going, oh, well, you know, do you think she would do that? I'm like, y'all motherfuckers, obviously,
y'all didn't
you have not
novel.
Read the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like from jump when she first met him. She's like, hello, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. And so I wanted to play on that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? With Tyrese. I think she had sex with Tyrese in the book, too. I can't remember. It's been a minute since I looked at it. Mm-hmm. But I thought I wanted to show that. I'm like, they haven't shown this yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe this will be a moment that people are reading. Like, ooh, did you see this script where he did blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And I think I've had like two of my friends who read it went, damn, this is really good. But would they do that? I was like, no, they just haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
That's part of the problem.
Well, I'm hoping it happens. You know, Morgan's there. And as far as I'm concerned, he's like one of my top favorite characters. It'd mm-hmm. be like him. But I'm just hoping they give Michonne some love and, mm-hmm. and work it out. Anywho, so that's kind of like my feeling on it. I was thrilled with it was just so exciting, and it totally made up for the first, well, the middle of the season, which was just like, I could not wait. I was literally, I wanted to cry because it was so bad in the middle.
Well, everybody's doing this thing on their TV shows where they go off with a character or two and spend an episode or two with one. It's kind of, I don't know if I like it or not yet, because
every now and then it's okay,
you know,
if it builds on the story. But mm-hmm. I'm telling you, that middle segment at the hospital, it stopped the momentum. The momentum that they have from leaving Terminus, mm-hmm. from getting everybody back together. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, oh, now they're straight going to go to Alexandria. We're gonna Then you have this pit stop. It was just like they put the brakes on, and it just sounded like, hey, someone pitched an idea in the writer's room. Hey, let's explore this. This mm-hmm. would be great. We can bring Brexit. Nobody cared about mm-hmm. that bitch when she died. I mean, it was a dramatic moment. You know, but mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, like, okay, can we leave now? I mean, I hate to be basic like that. I was like, okay, she did. Can we go?
Yeah. And the only thing I liked about it was the moment on Daryl's face, because Daryl is such a great actor. I just liked his face mm-hmm. when she came walking out. He was carrying her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then Maggie lost it and fell on the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was moments in there, but I agree. They could have done that while they were on the road to me. It didn't need to happen there at all.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because quite frankly, the last few episodes before they killed Everybody Hates Chris. I always forget his character's name.
Everybody Ate Chris.
before they killed him, mm-hmm. I was like, why is he even here? they're not even using them properly.
Yeah, it was like, you know? That was a total, I mean, hey, yay for a brother having a little job being on a zombie movie, mm-hmm. but literally in terms of momentum and pacing and adding something to the story, it was kind of a waste of character.
Totally.
It's like, you could have wasted all, you could have saved all of that momentum and put in some better episodes that would have got us to that. But you know what, like I said, it kind of made up for it with the finale. You gave me 90 minutes of stressing out. Oh God, Glenn's gonna die. Oh God, Daryl's gonna die. Oh God, is it Sasha? And then Father Gabriel flipping out, mm-hmm. and then that moment where literally I want to kill Father. Like I was like, can someone kill him? Because someone just kill, I hate.
You know, he's gonna go.
I mean, of all the brothers you let live, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And then it was like that moment where he has that breakdown and he's like self-hating, and then they're sitting together praying together, mm-hmm. as if they forgive him. Like literally, it was one of those moments where I felt like, God damn, that's probably how it really would be. It'd be like, I just want to kill you. And then you realize, oh my God, he's just tormented. Mm-hmm. And what the hell am I doing? I'm about ready to kill this guy.
But see, all three of them were tormented. They yeah. needed that moment to. Yeah. So what I want to know is, do they find God again? Or was it more like a, we just needed a moment to kind of come together?
Yeah.
You know, because it was a tableau of different things right. going on at the same time.
And the fact that Maggie didn't say nothing to everybody else, like, this mother gonna told these people that we, and she said nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, y'all now having this meeting about what we did outside the gate? Like, that mm-hmm. should have been from jump. When we walked in, we should have had a town meeting. Like, mm-hmm. look, y'all, it is bad out there. Mm-hmm. And didn't give them a whole litany of all the bad things you did. Mm-hmm. That way you got Gabriel coming there and talking about, oh, they're evil, send their people. And I'm like, dude, shut up, mm-hmm. you know? And it kind of made them sinister. And of course, Carol done turned into some scary woman now. She like, you know what? She's scarier now than what's his name from It? Pennywise?
Mm. Yeah.
Like,
that's funny.
When she was talking to the little boy and stuff, like these cookies, and you know what? I'm going to put you outside. And I'm like, and that's when everybody had that hashtag, Scarol. For scary Carol. And then when her and Rick were like, we gonna have to kill him, I'm like, whoa, y'all coming off like colonizers and stuff, we gonna come up and take some people's stuff?
Yeah.
Y'all sound like the Terminist people, you know? So I think
that's what they're saying is what happens in this world.
Yeah,
that really is the real world.
Thank God Morgan has come to bring some sanity
and
back.
He's all zen.
And he's all, I mean, he got like the trial. He coming out like the Trinidadian stick fighting. And it's like black people turn into ninjas, y'all. Like the apocalypse happens. Guess what? We all going to be able to.
Okay, hold on. One little thing. One last thing. And we'll get off Walking Dead. So on Talking Dead, Lenny said that, because I thought as soon as he put the. So what happened for the people who haven't seen the show? Spoiler alert. Okay.
It's too late. You should have seen
that one. Yeah, we
spoiled
all kinds of stuff. First of all, Lenny. Two guys try to capture him. He killed. I guess he killed them because they didn't wake up.
No, because on the.
No, that's they weren't.
He
dead.
Let him go. Yeah,
they weren't dead.
Right.
But he put them in a car and honked the horn. Now, when you honk the horn in this world, you're calling zombies to mm-hmm. you. But he closed the door. Did you see that? Because
mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, good, he's gonna leave the door open so the zombies can come in because they were knocked out.
Yeah, I think what he did was he just to hold them there so he could get away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at first I'm trying to figure out, oh, he's gonna kill him. All right. Then I thought, is he honking? One, is he honking because maybe he's thinking there's other guys that are working with them? Mm-hmm. He's honking to say, hey, come on out, you know, to see who else is out there.
But that was his excuse. I'm just saying that, and I thought he said something to that nature that he was trying to let them go or something like that. Because Chris Hardwick even said something about, you know, then you honked the horn like you were calling the zombies. He says, no, that wasn't what I was doing. I was like, yeah, dude. It looked just like that.
Anyway. Yeah, to me it was like, you know what? I don't want to kill these guys because mm-hmm. I don't want to bring myself to their level. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to have them trapped in here to give myself by myself some time to get away from them mm-hmm. and for them not to see where I'm going.
Okay.
Because I think maybe he might have thought he might have been close to Rick and them, and he just basically just to get away. Because I was kind of confused there. I'm like, is he trying to call him to kill him? But then he closed the door. Then I was like, well, maybe he's trying to call the other people. But now, hindsight, after watching it again, I was thinking more or less it was more like, okay, they're going to hold you guys here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can bounce. Because obviously you guys are coming from some other group. So your people are going to come find you. But I'm going to bounce.
You just said something interesting. You said after watching it again, the finale and the premiere are the only two I saved. I usually save them all.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have been erasing them because they haven't been that good.
Yeah, they're not. You know what? They were not worth keeping on the DVR.
No.
So that tells you how bad it was. Like, they don't deserve the space on the DVR. So I don't blame you. Like that, the first two openings and then that last one, that's all you need to see for this season.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that's all you need to watch.
Well, look, we're going to do a short episode today.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get into, we haven't done one this entire year yet. So we're going to do a Don't Sleep on Them segment.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, that's a little segment where we read a writer who's got some cool shit, a cool action scene, an opening scene, you know, and we'll discuss it and dissect and talk about what we liked and, you know, how it all worked and et cetera. Let's do yours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is an old – I think I talked about this many episodes ago when I was talking about when you're writing – if you're trying to write something that's science fiction-y and you're trying to put in a lot of information very quickly. So this is an old, old script. This is about 8 years old. And the reason why I wanted to bring it and read this one is because, one, I have some distance from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be really objective. And also, it's also – I call it a near future piece. But I'm really into – like I really love action-oriented openings. Like I like things to be happening and me trying to figure out what's going on.
Curiosity.
Mm-hmm. So this isn't a script. It's called Contraband. And the premise basically is, it's kind of like right now. It takes place in 2020, which is not too far from what, almost 4 years from now, 5 years from now. But basically the idea is when I was reading about Monsanto many years ago, I read these books called Uncensored. Mm-hmm. And I also read books on the best science writing, like not science fiction, actual science writing of the year.
Okay.
And many years ago, I was reading about these Terminator seeds. Supposedly Monsanto was making seeds where you can only plant them one time.
Hmm.
And then you'd have to keep buying your seeds. So I thought, what if in the future? Because I knew water is going to be an issue. California, we about to we about to die, y'all.
You always talk about that. Food and water,
I've been talking about
you?
Food and water. So my mm-hmm. idea was, what if you had a future where the contraband is actually seeds, having seeds that mm-hmm. can reproduce?
Okay.
So this is a society that basically their contraband is being able to be self-sustaining, living off the grid. Because if you can control people's food and water, you can control populations.
Okay.
So this is just an opening of a script I wrote many years ago.
I read the characters. Before.
Sure. you want to read all the characters?
It's fine.
Okay. Very good. The characters, and so you know the pronunciation, is Zulima, Imsada, and of course, Bilal. So, here we go. Fade in. Exterior. Busy Los Angeles intersection day. The year is 2020, and shit hasn't changed all that much. Just more cars, more people, more pollution. Zulima, 23, a pretty and very pregnant Mexican woman sells roses and oranges from a shopping cart on a corner. In a pampered and perfumed world, Zulima would be some rich guy's eye candy, but in this one, her pretty chestnut face will age and turn to leather before she's 25. Across the street, a young black woman, Imsada, 25, watches Zulima warily. She flicks open and shut a Swiss Army knife. A slouch Bilal, 30s, passes Imsada and stands half a block away. His face is hidden behind a tattered hoodie. He nervously smokes a hand-rolled cigarette. Zulima passes two roses to a customer in a high-end red car.
Are these American Beauty roses? See, good quality.
Currency is exchanged. The red car drives off. A compact car pulls up. Bilal whistles, alerting Zulima, who pulls out a long-stemmed rose. A small packet is taped to the rose's interior.
Easy, Zulima. Nice and slow.
The red car makes a violent U-turn and blocks the compact car. Two men leap out of the red car carrying high-tech firearms. Thwack, thwack, they shoot the driver of the compact car. Zulima runs. Blam. Her chest bursts open. She falls on her knees and kills over.
Ooh.
So that's just the opening.
That's good.
So when the idea behind it was I wanted to kind of show a scene that we've always seen all the time, and what we consider typical LA. A lot of times, if you've lived in LA for a long time, mm-hmm. you know a lot of people, we have a lot of vendors that sell things on the mm-hmm. corners. Like, you cannot get off
oranges,
the freeway
roses,
exit,
everything,
socks,
fruit.
Mm-hmm. Anything you need, they sell this. And this is normal. Like, there's been times when literally I've been looking like, I need a pair of socks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like going to Target. Literally, I've driven around the block, like, where I need to get. Or when you just broke and you cheap and it's Mother's Day and you're like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like stopping. Mm-hmm. Hey, we got roses. So mm-hmm. these are things that are every day. Also, I wanted to show that literally, and right now we're in 2015. I think I wrote the script in 2000. Literally what I've said in the script has come to pass. Ain't changed. Nothing's really mm-hmm. changed. It's just more people.
This looks like exactly
like it is. It's more cars, yep. more pollution. And what I want to place in there in 2020, by telling you it's 2020, just to let you know that things haven't changed that much. So you kind of know it's the near future, kind of mm-hmm. futuristic, but not that far into the future.
Sure.
And basically, it's just, you know, it's the typical scene we've seen. Someone selling something from the corner. Someone buys it. You see this packet. The assumption is it's going to be some kind of drug deal. But it's not until the scene after Zulema's killed that you find out what's inside the packet and that the contraband they're selling is not drugs. It's actually seeds they're trying to get out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and these are seeds that they can actually reproduce and grow their own food in a society where food and water is controlled so seriously that most people, you can't really go against any type of political regime. You really can't cause any type of revolution because you're so dependent on your food and water. Sure. So,
well, let me talk about a couple of things. We always talk about the very first line that you write should tell you the tone and should make you go, ooh, that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes me want to read.
Mm-hmm.
The very first line you say, the year is 2020. Okay, we got that. That sounds pretty normal.
Mm-hmm.
But then you say, and shit hasn't changed all that much. Just more cars, more people, more pollution.
Mm-hmm.
That's telling me a lot about the tone of the entire mm-hmm. show.
Without me having, and that was one of the things I had to work on, because a lot of times when you're watching, when you write something that's mm-hmm. near future, a lot of writers make the mistake of writing too much detailed stuff.
Sure.
They start talking about dilapidated buildings or super. No.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be able to say a whole lot without a whole lot of lines
mm-hmm.
and basically let you know, hey, it's 2020. So, you know, one, it's the future.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I'm straight up. Ain't shit ain't changed. So in your mind, you automatically think, okay, more cars. You kind of create that dystopian world without me having to write all that shit on the page.
Okay.
Because what I'm really trying to do, it's one of the things, one of the earlier scripts I really tried to do, because I was reading a lot of sci-fi scripts and a lot of it was too much detail, too much black mm-hmm. on the white page.
Yeah.
And I was really trying to teach myself, how do you get information?
Concise
information mm-hmm. that visually pops in your head
sure.
without me having to write so much stuff, you know?
All right. So. My favorite passage is few lines down. You say, in a pampered and perfumed world, Zulema would be some rich guy's eye candy. But in this one, her pretty chestnut face. So you're telling me a lot of little things.
Mm-hmm.
Her pretty chestnut face will age and turn to leather before she's 25.
Mm-hmm.
That is some fucking poetry right mm-hmm. there.
And it's the idea of getting the visual. Like when you look at the early, if I was to show you the earlier drafts, is that mm-hmm. it was like trying to write all that. Well, she's this. And it's like, say at least how you would tell your homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I come from I listen to a lot of hip hop.
Sure.
And so a lot of times when you listen to really good hip hop, they can say a lot and give you a little bit of a story in the words. So I was listening, I think at that time I was going back and listening to a lot of Ice Cube
mm-hmm.
and how Ice Cube can tell a story, you know.
Oh my God.
Who was I listening to? What is the one, If Today Was a Good Day?
Today Was a Good Day, yeah.
Where he tells you a whole world and you imagine it. So in a way I was trying to figure out, how do I give you a whole lot of information about this girl's life? And like you said, it's mainly trying to use visual words.
Well, the last thing I'm going to say is even the characters, you know, we always talk about naming your characters a certain thing. You know, Zulema, that's an interesting name. We say Imsada.
Imsada.
Imsada. Bilal. That's badass.
Well, just letting you know, they color folk.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly. It's not just David and Eric and Charles and, you know what I mean? But, yeah, this is a good one. This mm-hmm. is a good one. Let's do the other one really quick. It's
pretty
fast.
Good.
So the other one is called Mystic Valley High. Let me pull that up right quick.
Ooh, it and sounds this like one, a, it's a YA?
It's coming of age fantasy. it's like filled with magical creatures and princesses and knights and sorcerers.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff.
It's about like a competing high school where the villain school is burned down, so they got to go to their school.
Oh, my God.
So they all kind of come together.
Rivalry.
Yeah, it's like a rivalry thing.
I love that.
But this is by my boy, Frank Zenka. Mystic Valley High by Frank Zenka.
You want to do the characters?
I'll do it.
Okay. Exterior, Mystic Valley, morning. The rolling hills and various castles populate the landscape. In the nearby ocean, mermaids pop out of the surf. Cannon fire is heard as two pirate ships battle one another. Back on land, the fairies play, leaving behind a trail of sparkling dust.
Welcome to Mystic Valley, the home of all that's magical.
A Pegasus zooms overhead as two unicorns run down the field, leaving rainbows in their wake. In the center of the field is a rectangular castle with the word Mystic Mall printed on it. Further down the road is a majestic building, Mystic Valley High. Further still, in the corner of a village, is a cottage.
Unfortunately, My life is anything but.
Dissolve to interior, Jocasta's bedroom, morning. Jocasta, a brown-haired young girl of 15, rolls over in her bed. A rooster crows, then crows again louder. Jocasta, groaning, shoots a bolt of energy from her hand out the window. The rooster yelps and does not crow again. Jo leaps up, placing her hands over her mouth, making an oops face. The rooster enters with its feathers all striking in the air.
Sorry, didn't mean to do that. The dude looks great, though. Gonna drive those hens crazy.
That is cute.
Yeah, it's very cute. It goes on and on and on. But it gets really dialogue heavy, so that's why I thought I'd stop it there. But let's talk about this a little bit.
Right. Well, what I like is one thing is he has a lot of things going on, but when you're looking at it and reading it down the page, it's very clean.
Well, let me tell you a little secret. When he sent it to me, there were blotches like this.
Really? So yeah. He had him blotch.
He had a lot of blotches. Hmm. So I called him and I said, here's what I want you to do.
You had him do a rewrite?
I had him do a – well, I didn't have him change anything but clean up the page.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that your eyes go down, not across.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the first thing we did, because literally that whole first passage from all the way up to back on the land, the fairies – that was all one cluster.
Oh, okay.
You know, for instance. You know what I mean? So I just had him go through each and every one of them and drop every beat.
Yeah, because you know? What that does is if that would have been a block.
It would have been a block.
If you would have had that and reading out, like if I was just a reader or somebody just, or a gatekeeper just reading that. It's a lot of information to take in a paragraph, but by simply separating in the sentences, what it does is it almost gives you the scene in the movie.
Correct.
Like your eye is seeing, okay, the rolling hills and various castles populate the landscape.
It gives you an image.
And then it gives you an image. Mm-hmm. And then you go on to the next image. I mean, immediately I'm like, oh, okay, there's mermaids in this world. But had it been that paragraph, it would have been like, blah, 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 blah.
And we take in people. This is why I'm always trying to tell people about keeping your pages clean, because we take in what we see.
Right.
You know, if you see a cluster, it reads to you like a cluster sometimes. Mm-hmm. But if you take in images on its own, like, you know, when you're writing sometimes and you want something to stand, like in yours, you would say you did something like across the street. Mm-hmm. Right. So you did the little slug. Right.
Right.
So you wanted me to know
the mini slug line.
Yeah. So you wanted me to know something important here.
Right.
Right. So you could say Jacob. You know, ones across the street, blah, 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 blah. You know, whatever it is. But you're trying to tell me something. So to me, the same thing when you're breaking off all those clusters of paragraphs, you're reminding me this moment is important.
Right.
It needs its own beat.
And it's making you pay attention.
Yes.
Because most of the time when you're reading a script and there's lots of really big paragraphs on there, honestly, most people ignore most of the stuff. Mm-hmm. They'll catch a couple of words. But automatically in their mind, they're like, I don't feel like reading all that shit. Let me just get to the story, you know. But by simply separating, you're making me feel like, oh, I really need to pay attention to this. Plus, it's easier for me to look at. And it's easier for me to read.
But let's talk about his first three or four lines that he opens up with. Mm-hmm. It tells you the world in just those few paragraphs.
Right.
You know, the rolling hills and various castles populate the landscape.
Okay, most of the time, there's only one castle.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. The fact that you have several castles, one, you're telling me this is a very unique world. This is not, you know, the one Harry Potter world where there's one castle or something like that.
Sure.
You're telling me various castles. So it's okay. This is a totally different world. Mm-hmm. And you're also telling me the genre. You're showing me the genre right away from jump. Then the next one, mermaids. Mermaids popping out like it ain't nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so clearly,
they're like dolphins or something, huh?
Clearly, you know, this world has a bunch of everything. And then, of course, cannon fire is heard as two pirate ships battle one another.
There's a lot going on.
All this is going on in this one world, okay? So one thing it tells you, like, this must be the norm, okay? Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing interjecting showing, like, oh, there's no signs of people running out. Oh, what's going on? Mm-hmm. This is the norm.
Because on land, the fairies are playing.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean? They're killing each other on the water.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's interesting.
And I think what can get lost in time, this is very important, because when we have that inciting incident or whatever it's going to change, this is telling me what the norm is.
Sure.
So it's preparing me to be unaware, like, okay, this is something that's different that's happening. So you're preparing me that, okay, all kinds of crazy, wondrous things are happening. So I'm really going to be really interested in finding out, well, what's going to change this world? You've got mermaids, you got castles, you got pirate ships. Actually, it sounds like a really fun world to me.
It's cute.
Okay?
It's cute. I'll send you the pilot.
And then it's like, well, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, the rooster can talk, you know. Like, it's a completely different world.
And Jocasta. I mean, she's a typical teen.
Great name.
Yeah. Like, she's typical, and she's just like, ugh, rooster. And she does something that most people, that I really want to do sometimes when I'm at my place, and my neighbors who have ducks and chickens and roosters, mm-hmm. I wish I could roll over and be like, ping.
Did you see how, after we were, when we're inside of Jocasta's bedroom, a rooster crows and crows louder. Jocasta, groaning, shoots a bolt of energy from her hand out the window. Mm-hmm. So now you know, oh, she has powers.
She has powers.
Exactly.
Okay. And we're focusing on her. Of course, you've got her voiceover, and mm-hmm. basically she's telling you, you know, my world is magical. Unfortunately, my life is anything but. Mm-hmm. So already we're saying she lives in a magical world, but she's unhappy about it. So mm-hmm. now I'm going to be on the lookout for what's going to change Jocasta's life. Sure. Like, what is this thing? You know, this is really cute.
Yeah, it's very cute. If I was talking to Frank about it, I'll send you the script, though. You might want to read it.
Yeah.
And because it's actually a pilot. You know, it sounds like it'd be a cute movie, but it could be a TV show if you wanted.
Yeah, especially
you know what I mean?
You've got, like, the typical, like, you know, you have to always have the high school rivalries, but mm-hmm. what kind of a high school rivalry do you have
in
this world?
Well, they have their powers.
They have their powers.
Exactly.
And then you've got the school coming into another mm-hmm. school, and you're having to, like, I'd be really curious to know.
Yeah, and the evil girl is always bullying her, and mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Her and her evil friends, you know, it's cute.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Frank, and thank you, Lisa, mm-hmm. for that. That was our Don't Sleep on Them segment. You guys can send us.
So, you know, it's so funny because when you say send it in, it's like, it's hard to say, like, don't sleep on them when you're reading your own stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, don't sleep on Lisa from 2000.
Yeah, but, you know, but it's still relevant.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, what you were teaching us, though, if you think about it, was look at how something still works today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I wrote this, what was it?
It's 2000.
14 years ago, yeah. 13, 14 years
literally,
ago.
Literally, yeah.
And it still has legs.
Yeah, especially you know? When it's, I'm saying it's 2020, and literally 2020 is only like 5 years away from now. And literally what I wrote in the script is pretty much true.
But it was a long time ago.
It was like, yeah, it was like 50, yeah. It's like, and yeah, pretty mm-hmm. much nothing has changed. It's just more people.
And see, here's what I'm hearing is in 2000, you were already writing like this.
Mm-hmm.
So what does your writing look like now?
Oh, God, I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
and that's what I, you know, like we've read some of my old stuff too, and I'm always just trying to do it so people see mm-hmm. the growth,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I think that we as instructors in having this podcast, we should put ourselves mm-hmm. on the chopping block, so to speak, so mm-hmm. people know who we are. You know, I can't say that most other shows do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
Look, here's one of ours.
Yeah.
You know, help us dissect it too
when
if you want to.
When I was a real baby rabbit back
you know
in the day,
mean?
Trying
Whatever.
To come up with something. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what's up. So that is the Don't Sleep on Them segment. I mean, don't sleep on somebody who's got some cool stuff. You know what I mean? So with that, where can people find you at, Lisa Cole Jam?
You can find me on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if we're doing a Saturday Night Sci-Fi or Friday Night Horror. Those are hashtags. I also want people to, if you get a chance to, I'm always on Twitter at just mm-hmm. Lisa Bolacaja, but if you get a chance to, there's a hashtag, I think it's called Film Dis, Film, FILMDIS, and it talks about film and disability. So there are writers out there with various disabilities who write about film, and they're film writers too. So I want, you know, give an opportunity for people to check out the different voices that are coming in and writing. So mm-hmm. shout out to them. And you can also find me on BitchFlix, which is the... one of my favorite websites because we talk about – we do film reviews and film criticisms, but it's always told from a feminist intersectional viewpoint, and I'm always writing something on there. And it's not necessarily always brand new films. It mm-hmm. could be old films. It could be foreign films. So you can always check me out on there. I'm always writing something like every 2 weeks. So
that's what's up.
Check me out on BitchFlix.
Right. And I'm your host, Hilliard Guest, and you guys can find me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest.
Twitter.
Or, you know, Instagram, Facebook, you know, all that stuff. And you guys can follow us at ScreenwritersRR on Twitter. You guys want to email us, ScreenwritersRantRoom@gmail.com. Special shout out again to, you know, all you top countries. I keep blasting you guys out because I've noticed that every time I blast them, the numbers grow. So, damn it. Thank you, England, Canada, Australia, Japan, Brazil, all y'all motherfuckers. France, Spain, China, Japan. I said Japan already. That's what happens if you don't reach it. You know what I mean? Y'all know who y'all are.
Especially all those people in those countries who are independent filmmakers. Mm-hmm.
South Africa. Yeah,
because a lot of the really good stuff that's really coming out, mm-hmm. like the stuff that I'm really excited at looking at, mm-hmm. they're all independent stuff. Don't tell me, but I still watch the big movies. But a lot of the stuff that's really subversive or creative, they've been independent. Especially mm-hmm. the horror movie It Follows I just saw. Really interesting.
I watched that trailer. It was badass.
Yeah. It's a really, I mean, you know, it's on Lisa's scale, mm-hmm. and you know I'm hard, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's about a 6, which is okay.
That's good.
That's okay. Yeah. But I was really pleased that they're trying to do something new with horror, because it's really hard when you're an old head to to get me to be engaged. And I was really engaged with that. And that's an independent film.
Okay.
So all you independent filmmakers in all those countries, hey, keep doing that. And hit me up on Twitter if you have an independent film or something that you think that I might be interested in maybe reviewing for BitchFlix or something like that. You know, hit me up on Twitter.
That's cool. So y'all heard it today. We were talking about a little season wrap up and, you know, being our first year. Of course, we went in about The Walking Dead. You know, did I talk about my pilot that I did? Was that
today?
No.
The reason why you were looking at me like our last session, you were so... Because I could tell when I try to get in contact with you and you don't call back, it's like, ooh, they out there.
Well, let me just tell you guys in a quick little nutshell because I'm going to wrap this up. So we were shooting a new pilot called Faux Show. It was written and directed by my boy Scotch Ellis Loring. And his partner is Todd Holland. Everybody knows who he is, big director in television. And it starred Kim Coles and Erica Alexander and Tiffany Haddish and Ben Patrick Johnson,
mm-hmm.
who we had on our episodes. So look for that. It's coming out soon. Faux Show TV. That's FAUX Show TV on Twitter. So follow us and see what's going on. That's going to be coming out soon. It's a sitcom style, you know, 3 camera, you know, but we actually break the fourth wall and we go single camera too. So it's kind of a mixture. And, we got a really cool cast and, it's funny. It's mm-hmm. cute. And, yeah, we did that shit. So, and you see, I'm exhausted. And of course, I'm shooting a documentary this week that I'm directing and producing. So that's going to be, I got a lot of work to do this week. Just prepping and, you know, working with the line producer, Frank.
Yeah.
Zanka actually is my line producer. He's badass. And so anyway, shout out to the whole cast and crew of Faux Show and everybody over there. We thank you. And Lisa, mm-hmm. y'all, we thank y'all. So y'all know what to do. Keep it street. Keep it opinionated. Mm-hmm. Keep it what? 2015. Peace, y'all.
Ciao.
Everyone got one. What's your opinion? This is the rare one. Tongues won't be bitten. Ain't no rules, just spill it. And anybody can get it. No limit. We get to kill it. We tuning into the thrillers. And no, ain't no stopping.
No.
Any topic, even the random.
I
hope that you ready. We entering in the zone soon. We on a grown shit. Welcome to the rare room.